back because the market is closed. Good Wednesday afternoon, everyone. Tyler Herridge here with you for today's VRA Investing Podcast. Hope you all had a great day out there today. Getting a little bit of a late start on the podcast here today. We were tuning in to an interview today from ARKS, Chief Futurist Officer. That is his new title there. In an interview that he did on Twitter Spaces or X Spaces, whatever it's called, with StockTwits. It was a really interesting interview, you know, covering a lot of the themes that we cover here, just more in depth, and what we also see going forward through this innovation revolution. So I'm not going to cover too much of what he covered there. It was very interesting, though. A lot of the bullish factors like we've talked about, you know, what we're going to see with autonomous vehicles and robo-taxis. And today, right on cue, Boston Dynamics unveiled their new robotics platform, I guess, is what it is, that they will be building off of now as well. So right on cue there, you can start to see the impacts from different areas of the space. We've got autonomous vehicles, robotics, 3D printing innovations, nuclear, battery storage, all of these things. And what really the takeaway point here is that these aren't happening independently of one another. A lot of these different spaces, whether it's autonomous driving to robotics, they share a lot of the same thinking principles to get the job done that these robots need to get done, right? These AI systems need to get done. So they're all learning from one another here. And as they continue to learn, their learning time increases. It becomes rapidly accelerated in a short period of time. You know, so what he was talking about there, and I thought this was really most interesting in regards to robotics, is that if you get a robot that can do factory work first, the skills and stuff that it learns there translates over into the point where you have robotics that come into your home, doing your chores, cleaning your house, making your meals, you know, working around the clock to keep your place spotless. And then in turn can take those skills and apply them to different areas as well. So again, this is all accelerating. It's happening quickly. You know, Tesla is supposed to be rolling out their robo-taxis here soon as well. I mean, it's going to be interesting times, and we think for the better here as well. That said, that's why we're running a little late today, but overall, you didn't miss much in the markets today anyway. This now does make 3 days in a row here that we've had our major indexes open, either positive, maybe even mixed to positive, but that marking at or near the highs of the day and finishing at or near the lows of the day today, which is what we got again here today. But we continue to talk about, you know, I'll cover a lot of this here in a minute, but we continue to talk about this is a new bull market, and pullbacks like this are part of that as well and provide fantastic buying opportunities. So I'll get into that here, but first, some big catalysts are still coming up around the corner here that we think will provide fuel to the fire, to the upside for this market, namely earnings, which we had one this morning. ASML, chip producer, actually missed on expectations this morning. New bookings came in below expectations, and the stock sold off hard today. The company, on the other hand, came out and said that they expect Q2 to be much better. And so that got a lot of people worried here. I believe ASML, they supply a lot of the manufacturing processes to these chip manufacturers like NVIDIA. If I'm misquoting any of those, you know, reach out and let me know. But the fear there is that this is just the beginning. The rest of the semis are going to follow. We don't expect that to be the case. This could likely be a one-off here. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, we'll also get back Taiwan semiconductor earnings as well. And that will be the real tell here. ASML is a massive company, no doubt about it. $350 billion company. But Taiwan Semi is more than double that size, right? NVIDIA is a $2 trillion company in comparison there. So those are the names that really matter here. And we'll start to get into some of them next week. Namely, the big tech names. Not even just the semi names, but the big tech names. As Kip covered here yesterday, we don't even kick into high gear of earnings season until next week. And then don't look back from there. Tuesday, we've got Tesla, Meta on Wednesday. And on Thursday, we get a bunch. Alphabet, Amazon, Intel, and Microsoft all set to report there as well. And then in the following weeks, we'll have Apple, the other mega cap names, Nvidia, those as well. So we continue to see this here as a great setup going forward. So going back to what I was talking about just a minute ago, this setup, we've just had a pullback. We're right in the range of all-time highs, still 5% or so away for most of our major indexes. Geopolitical tensions here have investors on edge, no doubt about it. I'll cover that some later in the podcast. And the one that's been on everybody's mind this week, really eating away, has been yields on the rise, hitting multi-month highs this week. They did pull back today, but we just heard continuous comments so far this week from Federal Reserve speakers. I think there were like 12 different headlines from different Fed speakers, all their different opinions out there, what the Fed should do, and then Jay Powell speaking yesterday as well. You know, getting these continuous comments here of this higher for longer theme, this has a lot of people not only worried about yields increasing, but why they're increasing, right? This has many people worried about the return of inflation after a few months of slightly hotter numbers, a lot of which can be explained to a few factors that are either seasonal or just kind of one-offs that happen from time to time. Our view, we think we're still in a disinflationary environment here. It was never going to be straight down to 2%. This is one of those bumps along the roads. But as China continues to export deflation to the United States, we think disinflation continues. But back to the point, there's all of these competing narratives out there really taking away from bullish sentiment. And as contrarians, we love to see it. So right on cue with a pullback, fear and greed has now dropped below a 40 here. Let's see if it dropped any more since I last refreshed here. It has. Now at a 35, that is fear mode and approaching extreme fear. A week ago, we were at neutral. A month ago, we were at basically extreme greed. That is bullish sentiment being sucked out of the room quickly there. Then overnight and in the morning, we'll get the latest look at the AAII Investor Sentiment Survey. That one will be interesting. It's been somewhat elevated towards the bulls for the last, really few months. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. And also today, the put-call ratio really hasn't been elevated in previous sessions, but we finished the day at a 1.28. That is a heavily bearish number. Remember, the average here for the put-call ratio is a 0.7, meaning people are typically buying more calls than puts. The market, that's just the way, the average for the put-call ratio. Anything above a 1 is seen as bearish. A 1.28 is heavily bearish. Again, as contrarians, another little notch there that we like to see. And one more note on sentiment here. Barron's just ran a headline today. Just today. Remember, we are 5% from all-time highs. But it said, and I quote, "Why the stock market drop is far from over." These are just not the headlines that you see at a market top, right? If you're at a market top, you're seeing a correction like this of 5%, and everybody's saying, why you've got to be buying this dip, right? The stocks don't go lower. Why can we talk very often? You're getting stock tips from your Uber driver, your taxi driver. You're getting stock tips from the baggers at the grocery store. We aren't there yet. And as contrarians, again, we love to see this bullish sentiment leaving the room and shaking out some of the weaker hands here, giving us an opportunity to add to positions, to put on new positions. And really, let me get a quick sip of water here. So overall, really, what we've seen hasn't been anything outside of textbook bull market action. Early bull market action at that. Remember, trees don't grow to the sky overnight. So in times like this is when we want to remember, you know, we're just in year two of a bull market. Every bull market that has lasted at least 1 year, going back to World War II, has gone on for a second year. That's how early we are in this bull market. On average, they run between 4 and 6 years. And we think this has the potential to be an incredible bull market. Just remember what I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast about the innovation revolution. So don't forget that. You know, this is the time you want to hold the positions you like the most, and you want to start keeping some powder dry to start either adding to positions, putting on new positions to buy weakness. You know, we may not be there yet, not a terrible time just to start though, either here. Kip and I were just talking about it before the podcast. You know, it could be something in Q1 earnings next week that really sends this market back off to the races. There could be one final flush out of the weak hands. Who knows? On some big piece of news, it could be an Iran-Israel conflict deal. But it could be one of those two things here. Kind of that whoosh, sell-off, and then it's back off to the races. Or, you know, we get a good bullish catalyst and it's right back off to the races. Think about NVIDIA's earnings after Q1 from 2023. You know, we just had the banking crisis, then NVIDIA reported, and we've been off to the races ever since. So it could be one of those kinds of events. Either way, we remain long and strong here, and buy the dip continues to be the smart money move. All right, looking at our markets on the day-to-day, another session here, as I mentioned earlier, 3 days in a row where the bulls just didn't show up after the open, where we had a higher open and we finished near the lows of the day-to-day. And before I get to the numbers really quick here, let me point out that we are now reaching oversold levels here and heavily oversold in some categories, at least on our short-term VRA momentum oscillators, just about across the board. The Dow, which led the way today, you know, still finished lower, but fractionally down just over 0.1%. And it is right now at extreme oversold, but oversold across the board, short-term and long-term VRA momentum oscillators. Again, not quite extreme, but you know, in these bull markets, sometimes you never get to those extreme levels. But these are starting to approach levels here where you know, we're getting to a back up the truck kind of moment. I don't know if we're there yet, but we're getting close to it. So the Dow finished the day 37,753. After that, the S&P 500 down 0.58% to 5,022. Also hitting heavily oversold here. Those are probably our most two oversold indexes, the Dow and the S&P. After that, the NASDAQ led the way lower today, down 1.15% to 15,683. And lastly here, the small caps up a little bit more than the NASDAQ, down though 1.06%. That is for IWM, the small cap ETF. I do want to point out here today, as I was just talking about yields a minute ago, the 10-year was lower on the day. So everyone, take a deep breath. It's going to be all right. Yields are still in the 4% range. You know, there isn't a whole lot of resistance until we get to 5%. We've said this, though. It doesn't have to get back to those levels. And even at that level, we don't see it as a potential to derail this market here. You know, we can't say it enough. In the period of 1995 to 2000, for the NASDAQ, when it had that 575% rally, yields averaged about a 6% at the time. So, yes, it can be done. And so, no, at these levels, at 4.5%, 4.58, you know, we don't see that as a major issue. And we just found out today from Bar Chart posting this, fund managers are actively selling bonds right now. Right now, this is at the fastest pace in more than two decades. We just saw the biggest monthly drop in fund manager bond allocations since July of 2003. I don't know about you, but to us, that sounds like the signs of a top in yields. When we start to get, you get a bounce, not even back to previous highs, and the fund managers are running for the exit here. That is really interesting. We'll see if anything comes from that. We'll see if it continues. You know, we'll keep you posted on it here. But for now, bond yields were lower on the day today. All right, next up here, taking a look at our internals on the day today. You know, not fantastic numbers here, but I gotta say, compared to the last two sessions, these were good numbers. You know, not just pretty good, compared to the last two sessions, were really good. It does look like I got a bit of a refresh downwards after the close. It always takes a few minutes to settle. So we'll see here. I'll run it with my numbers. We'll compare side by side, even at first glance here. Still an improvement. So, nothing like a positive across the board day. But earlier in the day, really until the close, we had more advancing stocks than declining stocks on the NYSE. We finished just barely negative there. You know, a little bit more, but no 2-to-1 beats on the NASDAQ lower. Under a 2-to-1 beat. And what's good to see here was on Monday, remember, the NYSE, it was a 5-to-1 beat declining to advancing stocks and a 3-to-1 beat on the NASDAQ. So much improved from there. 52-week highs to lows, negative again today, as you would expect after a sell-off like we've seen. Because the sell-offs under the surface are always worse than what you see in the major indexes, which is why, you know, this is such a great buying opportunity as well. So they were negative, but again, an improvement from what we saw earlier in this week as well. So we're seeing fewer stocks hitting 52-week lows despite our major indexes finishing lower again here on the day. Lastly, volume. This was our bright spot on the day today, just barely coming in positive on the NYSE. And this is a bummer because it was positive on the NASDAQ at the close today. But you get those refreshes in there. Did finish just barely negative today. But after a week where we've seen roughly 70 to 80% downside volume days on both the NYSE and the NASDAQ, an even day like today when the NASDAQ's down 1.15%, and you have the semis, again, ASML was down big on the day, down 8% at the lows. The semiconductor ETF, SMH, finished down 3.08% on the day today, yet volume was just barely negative. A little bit of signs of divergence there. You know, again, looking for kind of that whoosh sell-off there, which if that's what we get, you know, we were looking for it on Monday morning at the open. They don't always time out just like you would like to, but when you see them, you know, you want to be ready to act. Again, having some powder dry really helps there. All right, next up, let's take a look at our sectors on the day today. We did finish with some positive sectors today. 4 out of our 11 S&P 500 sectors, and mostly the defensive names. As I mentioned earlier, yields were lower. The biggest borrowers in the nation are utilities, and utilities led the way today, again, helping that yields were lower there. After that, we had another defensive sector, consumer staples. After that, materials, and then financials. As the financials had a good amount of green on the screen today for the big, you know, mega banks, if you will. After some concerns, after earnings last week, you know, let's see if we can get a little bit of a bounce back here. We don't personally invest in any of these names. We're not big fans of the big banks out there, but you want to see them participating as part of a healthy bull market as well. Then to our laggards on the day, as you might expect, tech led the way lower, followed by real estate, and then consumer discretionary. Industrials were after that. Just want to run a couple of quick charts here. All right. Nothing much else to report there on our sectors for the day, but much like our major indexes, we are at heavily oversold levels on the short-term VRA momentum oscillators and approaching those levels as well on our longer-term VRA momentum oscillators. All right, finally here for today, let's cover our VRA commodity watch, Gold was lower earlier in the session, now slightly higher here, just up 0.04% to $2,377. But just what you want to see on the day. And what you want to see from this group, really, overall, is the miners leading the way and showing strength on a day when the market was lower. There was a flight to safety trade today. We haven't seen that every day of this recent pullback. But on days when you see outperformance from sectors when the market is lower, you want to keep an eye on those sectors. You want to keep an eye on strength. And that's what we saw from GDX, again, up 1.57% on a day with gold flat. Next up here, silver down on the day by really pretty flat, down 0.02% at $28.28 an ounce. I'm not sure if I quoted gold, $2,377 an ounce. Next up here, copper remaining near its highs here, near a 52-week high. I want to say an 18th month high. Why not find out here for you? All right, trading today, flat on the day at $4.34 a pound. Again, that is hovering near its highest level since June of 2022. So almost a 24-month high there for copper. Finally here, oil. We've talked about this some here on the podcast, but oil has continued to fall here from its peak at the beginning of the month on its price per barrel. And this may sound contradictory because we do remain bullish on oil and gas stocks. We remain bullish on the energy sector. We also like uranium as well, to throw you a little curveball. But my point by dragging this out right now is that hopefully a lower price for oil today, which is down big, 2.9% to $82.86 a barrel. And hopefully, what that is telling us is that these geopolitical conflicts will be resolved before something major happens. That's the hope. I'm not saying that I have some insider information here, because I do not. But if things were looking like they were going to get more heated, especially in the Middle East, you know, massive oil producers in the area, even if it's not necessarily Israel being a massive oil producer, still the conflict in the area would send oil prices higher. And we just haven't seen that now since oil peaked. So again, I like the group here, but I also like this weakness in the price per barrel for that reason, that hopefully, you know, we can resolve these geopolitical issues without more big blowups, without more loss of life. Finally here for today, Bitcoin lower again today here, down 2.8% now to $61,262 a Bitcoin. As we get closer and closer every day to the halving, as the ETFs continue to create more Bitcoin demand, we remain extremely bullish here on Bitcoin. But folks, that's all that we have time for here today. Please be sure to subscribe to receive our VRA podcasts every day at the market close. You can sign up at vraletter.com. Click the podcast link at the top, and we'd love to have you with us. Thanks again for tuning in. Until next time, we'll see you back here tomorrow for the close.